Blog Talk Radio.
All about getting connected. Yeah. Like the Wrestling Guys on Facebook.com. Follow us on Twitter.com at Wrestling Guys and take us on the road and listen anytime, any place, anywhere at Wrestling-Guys.com. And still for at least, we are back with another edition of Wrestling Guys Radio.
That's right, John. We are the innovators of the interactive pro wrestling talk show going way back to 1996. And for you fans who didn't listen to the interview that we did yesterday with WWE hopeful, who's invited to the NXT tryouts first week of February, Ricky Reyes, make sure you give him a listen on our website, wrestling-guys.com. And Ricky had a lot to say, didn't he, John, during that interview? He especially got into his own opinions about the new trending word in pro wrestling called steel horsing.
Oh, you got that right, Phil. And that interview is streaming right now at wrestling-guys.com. And, Phil, that's exactly what we're here to talk about today. And right now we have a guest on the line. He is the man partly responsible for the new steel horsing phenomenon. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Mr. Tommy Taylor. Welcome to Wrestling Guys Radio. Tommy, you're on live, buddy. All right. Must be having some kind of a connection issue, Phil. But anyway.
He must have gotten steel horsed.
I'm telling you, steel horsing is like sweet. The nation, and everyone's talking about it. And Phil, my big question is where is Steel Horse Deshaun, the man that called the cops? No one's heard anything since this has happened. He's like disappeared off the face of the earth, and I wonder why.
Well, you got that right, John. And as you know, we right after this incident had occurred over the weekend, this past weekend, we attempted to reach out to both wrestlers that were involved in this incident. And, of course, Tommy Taylor was gracious enough to respond back to us. But we've noticed that Steel Horse Deshaun has taken down his own personal Facebook page and his professional wrestling Facebook page as well. He's just disappeared, man. And I don't know about you, but if I were in the business, even with all the heat, bad press is still good press, I would have been all over this. And you know what? We have an open offer, I think. And let's offer that to him again, and we'll continue to put it out there. All right, Steel Horse Deshaun, if you're listening to this show and you hear Tommy Taylor talking and you want to respond, you can simply reach out to either John House or I. We'll give you airtime, but it looks like he's disappeared, John.
That's right. You know, there's two sides to every story. And, Phil, I want to hear the one side right now because, ladies and gentlemen, on the line right now, one of the men responsible for the steel horsing phenomenon, Mr. Tommy Taylor, welcome to Wrestling Guys Radio. Again. Uh-oh.
Seems like Tommy's having issues.
Yeah, one of us are having issues here, that's for sure. But Phil, I mean, listen, you're a guy like Steel Horse Deshaun. You've been trained. I got a couple reports here. You know, one is Johnny Ross, the other one's Devon Dudley. How do you go back after something like this and look your trainers in the face after, you know, your trainers are well respected in this business? How do you look eye to eye with those men ever again? I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know, again, not having spoken with him, I don't know if it was a momentary lapse of reason where he just felt like, you know, he got taken advantage of in the match. But, you know, again, as we spoke with Ricky Reyes during our interview with him yesterday, you know, the common way of handling this is to take care of it in the ring as much as you can to bring it back to order. And then if you've got a beef, you can take it outside, you know, and you can settle it outside where nobody's around. So my question is, we need to find out, did the fans know what was going on that evening? Did they know that it had moved from a regular match into a shoot, and what was their reaction?
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe Tommy just cleaned his clock. that one big right hand, maybe he gave him a concussion or something. Maybe he wasn't quite sure what exactly was going on. But, Tommy, are you on the line with the wrestling guys? He still has connection issues, Phil. But, you know, anyway, there's a whole lot more to talk about. Vintage Pro Wrestling, Florida, that's where it took place this past weekend. In front of a good crowd, Phil. The crowd was pretty hot. I know they have another show coming up in just a few weeks. And I know one of the questions that you want to pose to Tommy is, you know, will he be on that card?
Oh, absolutely right. I mean, certainly, you know, from a promoter standpoint, I mean, this is a promoter's dream to have a feud like this go on, whether it's Shoot or whatever. You know, it certainly garnered a lot of interest here on the internet, and that turns into dollars at the turnstile. So when people are buying tickets for the show, I'm sure they're looking to see if there's going to be a rematch between these guys, what's going to happen that evening. And that show is going to be on February 16th, right at the same building in Sanford, Florida. The show is called End of the Line, and I'm wondering who it's the end of the line for.
Yeah, exactly, the end of the line. Tommy, are you with the wrestling guys? All right, not yet. Okay, so he must be still be trying to call in, Phil. But, you know, like I said, Ricky Reyes had a lot to say yesterday like that, and, you know, you know, it's Fashan, nowhere to be found. And he must really be embarrassed at this point. I mean, you know, he looks like a big, tough guy. He looks like a motorcycle dude, like he would kill somebody.
According,
and then he turns around and does something like this.
Based on what was on Tommy Taylor's website, I think he's 6'5 and 275 pounds, if I'm not mistaken. Though he's no small dude. I mean, you know, certainly if you go into a locker room, you don't see, you know, any more than one or two guys with that kind of height and weight in an independent locker room these days. And this was a good show. There were a lot of big names on the card. Lince Dorado, who you know very well, Corey Chavis, the Florida Underground, you know, some of the people from the Florida Underground group were there. Also, Ring Warriors champion Bruce Santee, who's also a big guy. He's probably around the same size and the same weight as Steel Horse Vachon. Also in the locker room that evening. So, I mean, this was a locker room full of big guys, but, I mean, this guy certainly stands, you know, heads, hands, and feet above all the others. So, you know, here's Tommy Taylor working a guy that size, and he was actually looking forward to that match because, according to his rendition of the story, he gets excited. He says he shines when he works bigger guys like that, John.
Yeah, Phil, and I think right now, I think we have Tommy on the line. Tommy Taylor, welcome to Wrestling Guys Radio.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good morning, and thanks for coming on the show, Tommy.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tommy, I want to get right to the point now. Tommy, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't know Tommy Taylor. Get us caught up and get us familiar with Tommy Taylor. You know, where did you train? How long have you been in the business?
Well, I'm coming up to my 11th year in the business. I actually started training doing Olympic style wrestling when I was 14 over in England. Actually the same area that, you know, guys like Dynamite Kid and you know, David Boy Smith started out in Wigan. And at the age of 16, I started training to do professional wrestling with British legend Jeff Kay. So Jeff Kay.
Yes, sir.
And another guy called Drew McDonald. You know, totally different perspectives of British wrestling from, you know, both guys. Yeah, a lot of technical wrestling with Jeff Kay. And Drew McDonald's just a tough guy, and, you know, really taught me how to hit hard and be hit hard as well. So, you know, I got a lot of different styles from them. Pretty much just jumped right into the British circuit at the age of 16. On the road, literally wrestling every night, doing the camps that they're famous for over in England. And then, you know, kind of through the guys I was training with, I attended a lot of WWE shows. You know, kept going to the shows, talking to the guys, showing them how I'd improved, et cetera, and then eventually in 2007, they signed me and my best friend brought us over to FCW in Florida, and 2007-2008, we were there, and, you know, 2008, just kind of been doing the independence in America.
Now, Tommy, you know why we're here today. This steel horsing phenomenon not only has swept the nation, but it has swept the world. And I mean, you had this matchup this past weekend down at Vintage Pro Wrestling in Florida against Steel Horse Tashawn. I mean, did you guys know each other prior to this match? Did you have any issues prior to walking out in front of that live crowd and stepping into the ring?
No issues prior to the show itself. I mean, there might have been a few, well, there obviously was a few issues before the actual match itself, but prior to the show, you know, I've only really met him at another show. Never really spoke to him or anything like that. I believe I did a good job of putting the guy over, you know, through Facebook and Twitter. You know, like he said, I was looking forward to the match, and, you know, there isn't enough big guys and big monsters on the independent scene, I don't think, that, you know, really had the chance to work guys to put them over so well. So I was really looking forward to it. And, you know, it wasn't until we kind of crossed paths just before the match that, you know, there were a few problems.
Tommy, I read in the, I think it was your account of it, as you had described it, that, you know, he came in the locker room, and this is a locker room of a lot of professional guys. I know several of them, including Wardell Walker, Bruce Santee, Corey Chavis. You know, that he didn't seem very friendly. He walked past all you guys without ever greeting any of you. Is that correct?
Yeah, and, you know, if you go to any wrestling show, if you go to any profession or anything, you know, it shows a lot of respect to go around and, you know, introduce yourself or shake hands with everybody. You know, like I said, it doesn't matter if it's wrestling or anything else. It doesn't matter who you are, how big you are, or how small you are. It's just the way it is, and he came in and he didn't show any of that respect to anybody, to, you know, guys like me, Frankie, Corey, Bordell, Bruce, you know, and you, little things like that don't go unnoticed.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Now, how far into the match did it, you know, transition from, you know, what, I guess you guys, again, from what I read, there was an attempt to try to put the match together, and from what I gather, he seemed disinterested. Is that correct?
Yeah, it wasn't that he seemed. Well, I mean, at first, you know, like I said, he had his head in his cell phone as I was trying to go ahead and give him some ideas, which, you know, added more fuel to the fire to me and kind of, you know, pissed me off a little bit. And just his attitude when it came to actually, you know, setting up the finish. You know, like I said, that he literally said that he didn't trust me, and he had bigger matches coming up. So at that point, I kind of just you know, kind of lost it with him. I didn't want to waste any more time with him. I said, fine, you know, we'll do what you want to do. And you know, in my head, I'm thinking, well, you know, when we're out of the ring, that's when we'll address this issue.
Gotcha.
Wow. Now, Tommy, take us through the match. I mean, When did things during this matchup begin to go south? I saw the camel clutch. It wasn't very properly applied, you know, and everything. But you know, at what point in this match did like it just all start falling apart?
Well, I mean, I think things started going south when he came out. First of all, he came out with the belt from another promotion, from the Bronx promotion he'd been working at, and I guess he was a champion there. And now, you know, it's all good and well if you want to come out with a belt from another promotion, as long as it's cleared with the guys running the show that you're on, and, you know, hopefully it leads into a storyline or something like that, that's fine. But, you know, he came out with this belt, didn't clear it with anybody. I know he told the ring announcer, you know, I think that was the only person he really told. And the belt that he had was the exact same design as the heavyweight championship that they had in Vintage, which, you know, if you have a clue at all about the business, you know that's a huge slap in the face to not only everyone in the company, but the guys who have been building up a huge main event on a huge show for, you know, several months, 3-4 months they've been building up that match, as well as, you know, building the heritage of that title. And, you know, like I said, things like that don't go unnoticed, and I noticed it, and I knew he didn't get clearance from anyone, and so that's kind of when things went real south down, you know, out in the match. As far as the physicality went, you know, little bits of clumsiness from his part, a little bit of carelessness, that kind of just, you know, built up, and until you set the camel clutch, it wasn't so much him being careless, it was the fact that he was trying to rush my comeback, and he was pulling me up by my neck, and he really wanted me to start firing up and do a comeback, and, you know, I wasn't ready, and I know the crowd weren't ready, and I like to take my time with that kind of thing. And at that point, he let go of me, and he decided to jump up and come down on my back, you know, with no ease. You know, there was no giving up on the move itself. He came straight down on my back, and, you know, it kind of took the wind out of me, and that's when I had to do something.
Well, that makes sense, Tommy. Now, did the fans notice at that point that things had turned? I mean, were they aware of the fact that the match had transcended from, you know, stage to shoot, so to speak?
No, not at all. And that's the general response I'm getting from people, you know, not even just fans, but, you know, works in the business. They watch it and they think, there's nothing really wrong with it. You can tell it's a receipt. You know, if you understand, you can tell
yes.
It's a receipt, but it goes right back to the match. It's not like it was an all and out shoot. It's not like I went to kill the guy. It was just a little receipt, a little wake up call, and immediately after that, I gave him my body back and gave him the benefit of the doubt to go ahead and finish the match and like I said before, continue to put him over, hoping that you know the mat had been squashed and we could talk about it after and kind of. You know, designate the issues that we have.
Sure.
You know, but instead he called the cops. Now, I mean, Tommy, do you think with that right hand that you clocked him, do you think maybe you, like, jogged his brain, maybe you gave him a mild concussion, something like that? I mean, I have never heard, for as long as I've been around in this business, never heard of anyone actually calling the cops.
Yeah, unless you wrestle New Jack. I've hit guys harder. In fact, the match I had previous to that was a young kid here in Florida, and you know, I hit him real hard. And after the match, he smiled, he thanked me, and you know, we talked about it. We actually went out for a drink after some food, and he picked my brain, and it was great. And That's how it should be. You know, if there is a receipt or a stiff shot in a match, there's a reason to it. You know,
sure.
Obviously you can tell by the look of him and the way we started the match and everything. It's not like I went out there to humiliate the guy or to bully him or anything. I mean, there was a reason for it. I don't feel I hit him too hard. It was aimed for just above his eye. He wasn't there to cause any damage or anything. I think he did lose a contact lens or something. But, you know, it wasn't like I went out there to KO the guy.
Now, Tommy, after the match, was there, in fact, any dialogue between either of you, you know, discussing what had happened there, that little short exchange?
There was a little bit of a discussion, but it was pretty much just following up on everything he'd already proved to me, which was he was, you know, kind of arrogant and clueless about the business. He wanted to know what it was. Why I hit him, and I said, you know, I said it's a receipt, and I was prepared to go ahead and continue to explain the reasoning behind it. At that point, he didn't want to listen to anything. I think he walked away, and you know, I kind of just, you know, I didn't think anything else of it. I kind of continued to get ready, thinking that it's just a guy who's, you know, doesn't really deserve to be in the business, and. Didn't get anything else of it, and I continued to get ready and left the building. I had to leave early to get home to my family, and then literally 5 minutes after leaving the building, received a phone call that the police were at the building.
Was there any reaction from any of the other guys in the locker room? You know, either reaction to the exchange in the match, or you know that little bit of dialogue that occurred afterwards. Did anybody react to it at all, or mention anything to you?
As far as the match, I know a few of the boys watched it, but
okay.
It was only, it was only, oh, you clocked him. Obviously they saw that. But it wasn't like a big issue. It wasn't like everyone came to me and asked why I hit him or why this happened or anything. It was just, it's wrestling. If you understand pro wrestling, you understand that thing kind of happens. 99% of the matches that I've had, there is a stiff exchange. And usually it's to bring the better out of each other. So no one really, brought anything up about the match. Now, the exchange of words we had in the changing room, a few of the boys saw it. But like I said, kind of just astonishment, kind of just put him down as a guy who was clueless and didn't want to learn. He could have sat there with me after. He could have, been a man and decided to, to fight me about it. But he didn't. He had a lot of options to choose when he was in the back, and he actually decided to just leave and call the cops. Yeah, well, it still sounds hilarious, right?
Well, obviously the police couldn't. The police didn't find any reason to contact you further. They felt that there was no cause of action against you, so obviously there were no criminal charges filed or anything like that. But certainly, he's disappeared. His Facebook page is taken down. We looked for him to offer him the opportunity to come on the air as well. Not necessarily with you at the same time, but, an opportunity to come on and explain his side of the story. But he's gone. Any idea what's happened to him?
No, I don't really care. I don't think there was any kind of redeeming that he could do. Definitely not now. I have said that the only thing he could do to kind of save face and give himself a little bit of dignity back would be to come out and apologize to everyone, especially apologize to the guys who trained him. Apologize to, not necessarily to me, but, to the people who run the show, the people who, paved the way for, every little bit of wrestling. Because this has hit home for everyone in the wrestling business, not just independent people, not just people at Vintage Pro. This has hit home with every kind of professional that's done this, like, Dr. Tom, someone who's a legend in the game. Dave Taylor, I spoke with a lot of them. Guys who are up on TV right now. I spoke with TJ Wilson the other day. He thought it was crazy. It's hit home with everyone. And the only way he could really try and get a little bit of that dignity back would be to come out and just apologize. And, I definitely don't want to see him on a wrestling show again, but I'd love to hear his explanation on a radio show or something. So, if you guys want to keep trying to pursue him, then, I'll definitely be tuning in for that.
Absolutely. We definitely want him on this show. It's hashtag steelhorsing. There's already a steelhorsing.com. And, Tommy, I got to ask you, there's already steelhorsing T-shirts. Where can the fans pick them up?
They're at bumpdrunk.com, bumpdrunk.com. They're the T-shirts that, I'm helping get out there. I'm sure there'll be a lot of different, a lot of different outlets to get more merchandise and things like that. It's pretty crazy. I mean, the Steel Horse and things, it's reaching outside of the wrestling world. A lot of people are asking me about it. A lot of people are saying that they heard it on the radio. It's pretty crazy. It's good. I'm enjoying the ride.
As well you should. Now, I do know that Vintage Wrestling has another show coming up on February 16th that's called End of the Line. Will you be booked for that show as well?
I guess if they'll have me back. if they don't mind having a trouble causer on the show, I guess.
There you go. Hey, Tommy, had you worked for them prior to this? I mean, have you been in their lockers before? Because I understand they run very good shows down there.
Yeah, I've built a good relationship with Vintage. I've built a good relationship with all the boys that work there, and it's very it's a very positive locker room. Very good shows they put on. Wrestle Brawl Fall they had was easily one of the best live shows I've been to, with some good matches and things. And I was looking forward to the main event and things like that. I worked there a few times. I will be there at the End of the Line on February 16th, definitely. Who I'll be wrestling, I don't know. But it's definitely, if you're in Florida, if you're outside of Florida, it's worth making the trip for. And, you know, hopefully I'll see everybody out there with their Steel Horse T-shirts or, you know, Tommy Taylor T-shirts, whatever. And, you know, definitely come. I'd appreciate it. Come down and support the whole situation and, you know, have a good time. Enjoy a good wrestling show.
Tommy, if you could get a crack at Steel Horse again for that February 16th show, would you take the opportunity to do that?
Yeah, and I've already said to the promoter, I've said, you know, do an open challenge. I don't care, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll be in the ring. I'll wait for him. I don't mind going. I don't mind going against him again. The only problem with that is, you know, there's the full locker room we'd have to go through first. Nobody wants him to know a wrestling show again. That's for sure. Nobody wants to see him, you know, attempt to do a pro wrestling show ever again. You know, from the guys at the lowest independents, from guys at TNA, you know, they've already told me that they want nothing to do with him anymore. And, you know, if that's what they want to do, I don't know if it would be a good move at all, you know, because when February 16th rolls around, who knows where this whole story is going to be at that point. He might come out and explain himself. You never know. But whether it's Steel Horse or somebody else, it's definitely going to be an interesting night.
Yeah,
connect with Vintage Pro Wrestling on Facebook.com, Vintage Wrestling. Tommy, where can fans and bookers, promoters look to find Tommy Taylor?
You can go ahead and find me on Twitter at Real Tommy Taylor. Real Tommy Taylor. Go ahead and contact me on there. Send me a tweet or a message. And, you know, just kind of get on there and post your Steel Horse and pictures. That'd be pretty funny. Your memes, everything like that. Buy the T-shirts, send them pictures. That'd be great.
That's it. Buy the Steel Horse T-shirts. Tommy, we want to thank you for spending time with the wrestling guys, Phil Varlese and John House. We hope to have you back on again soon. And again, we have an open offer out to Steel Horse Vachon. If you'd like to come on, explain what you think your side of the story is. We're open to it. Tommy, again, thanks for coming on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
Well, Phil, there you had it. Tommy Taylor, he's got to be the hottest interview right now, not only in the United States, but around the world. But, Phil, in the weeks to come, TNA superstar Sanjay Dutt will be here. Black G's will be here. The owner of Combat Zone will be in the house as well. I know you hooked it up. WWE Hall of Famer Rowdy Roddy Piper will be with the wrestling guys. And fans, you know how to do it. Get connected at WrestlingGuysOnTwitter.com. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheWrestlingGuys. And you know the deal. Take us on the road. Visit anytime, anyplace, anywhere at Wrestling-Guys.com.
Thanks for listening in. We'll see you soon.